there's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
The journey to a smoke-free future can be a long and winding road. But if you're ready for a change, consider taking Zyn for a spin. Zyn nicotine pouches offer a fresh way to discover your nicotine satisfaction. Anywhere, anytime. No smoke, no spit, and no lingering odor. Get in gear with the Zyn 10 Challenge and enjoy 10 smoke-free, spit-free days for just $5.95. Order online and start your new journey today. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, it's Jonas Knox. 56% of job seekers say their biggest challenge is finding a job that matches their qualifications, according to an Express Employment Professionals Harris Poll survey. The job search can be a lonely process, but Express Employment Professionals can be your one connection to finding a job that fits. Each year, hundreds of thousands of people find work through their local Express office. Find the location near you at expresspros.com. With no fees for job seekers, visit expresspros.com.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome in the beginning of the Ben Maller Show. We are in the air everywhere. The vast Fox Sports Radio network coming to you live from the Geico Fox Sports Radio studios. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on your car insurance. Just visit geico.com for a free rate quote. Back at it again, and the NBA draft is plausibly today. This is our Thursday show, so the NBA draft coming up in many, many hours from right now. And one of the stories, which is all over the place, involves the New York Knicks. There's an obsession with what Phil Jackson is going to do with the Knicks on draft day, and specifically with Kristaps Porzingis. Now, Jackson confirming all of the chatter this week that the Knicks are looking to trade Porzingis. That was not fake news. That was not. That was accurate news, as the Zen master unloading on a state-run New York Knicks TV interview, the MSG Network in New York, Jackson confirming that indeed the phone is ringing and it's all about Porzingis. And the Knicks are listening. They're not slamming the phone down. They're not answering the phone. They are open to this. It hasn't been appetizing enough for the Knicks, but they are open. So I wanted to talk about this. Now, the Zen master made several declarations. He made several declarations here, including the fact that he said as much as the Knicks love Porzingis, they have to look out for their best interests.
We're getting calls. You know, as much as we value Kristaps and, you know, what he's done for us, when a guy doesn't show up at an exit meeting, everybody starts speculating on, you know, the duration or your movability from a club. So we've been getting calls.
Yeah. All right. So that's Phil. The phone's been ringing. Phil never does interviews in the offseason. He hates this. This is painful for him. But Phil, again, talking about Porzingis and the fact that there is a plan, there is a lot going on here.
We're listening, but we're not intrigued yet at this level. But as much as we love this guy, you know, we have to do what's good for our club.
All right, so I assume the Knicks would want, and we'll ask Phil. Phil, you want like LeBron James in return, right? You would take LeBron, maybe Steph Curry, Kevin Durant in return, yes?
You know, what it brings, does it bring us two starters and a draft pick, or, you know, something that's even beyond that is something that we have to look at as far as going down the road.
Yes, always down the road. All right, so now we move on here. This is, Phil had a lot to say. The one that got my attention, though, was the one where Phil dug in and pretty much laid out how Kristaps Porzingis has written his own ticket out of a Knicks uniform.
I don't think I've ever had a player over 25 years of coaching, maybe 30, not coming to an exit meeting. So it's not happened to me. I know it happens to other people and other players. And his brother and his agent have said, you know, downplayed it. But, you know, still it's a chance for a person to express themselves. And I had a real good relationship with Kristaps over the last 2 years. So it was kind of surprising.
Yeah. So the question is, how should Kristaps Porzingis of the Knicks feel about all this? And I got two things here. Regretful, and I'm going to go depressed. And I'll tell you what. Number one, Phil Jackson, we know he's not a great poker player. We just played the soundbite there. And he revealed why the Knicks are even considering the possibility of trading what has become the franchise centerpiece because of the fact that Porzingis did not show up to that exit interview. You can say that's an overreaction, but that's how Phil Jackson feels, and he's not hiding from that. And that was a reference to Porzingis' decision to essentially spit a loogie in Phil Jackson's face and say, I'm not going to go to that meeting. I don't want a part of that. And he was upset, supposedly, because of Carmelo Anthony was not treated right. God, it's ridiculous. That's a soap opera. And so this is partly a generational divide. Like, Phil Jackson demands certain things, like accountability, personal responsibility. And in the head of Phil Jackson, this is insubordination by Kristaps Porzingis. And I would think that he is going to regret the fact that he didn't go to that. And Phil's also upset because while he has talked to Porzingis, it is not Phil's favorite form of communication.
Well, I've reached out. You know, we've communicated, not through voice or anything, although I've tried to call. But, yeah, it's got to be – and they say no worries. He's working hard. And, you know, there are plenty of pictures on the Internet about him working hard and working at it. So, yeah, we'll get it back.
Yeah, so Phil Jackson, who's, what is he, 70? He don't want to be texting Kristaps Porzingis. Like, hey, I'm not a texter is what he's essentially saying. We know Phil's not great at Twitter, so he's probably not that great at texting Porzingis. But that is not a sword you want to fall on if you're Kristaps Porzingis. You let Carmelo fight his own battles here. This is not a noble battle for Porzingis. And you combine that with the fact late in the season last year there were some signs that the Knicks were worried about Porzingis showing some Carmelo-like tendencies where he was a bit of a dog. And they were not happy about that. And so it all adds up to where now Porzingis is being dangled and the draft is tonight. And is Porzingis going to be traded before the NBA draft gets started at 7 o'clock Eastern time? And the second thing here, if I am Kristaps Porzingis, I would also feel depressed because this did not have to happen. He's 21 years old. He's become a big name for the Knicks. The Knicks have been terrible since he arrived, and they were terrible before he arrived. But you're 21 years old. You're living in New York. You're a big name. The Knicks aren't very good, but you figure they'll build around Porzingis. He could be there for the better part of a decade.
We know what he is. He's a unicorn, and he's special.
Yes. Yes, that will not come back to haunt Phil Jackson at all, will it? No, not at all. Have you ever called anyone over the age of, like, 9 a unicorn? Porzingis is 21 years old, and Phil Jackson just called him. I know that's his nickname. I get it. I'm not that naive to this, but call him a unit. Can we play that again? I mean, this is wonderful. We're going to add this to our rotation. This is great.
We know what he is. He's a unicorn, and he's special.
Is that allowed? Are you allowed to have a unicorn in the NBA? Is that like a violation of the collective bargaining agreement somehow? We'll have to look into that. But I would go with the emotion of depressed. I would also have heartburn if I'm Porzingis. Like, he thinks he's beating the system. And it is certainly possible that Porzingis will end up in another good situation. The Boston Celtics have been mentioned. He could end up with the team in the L.A. So there's a chance that that happens. There's also a possibility that Phil Jackson could be vindictive and send him to the NBA's version of Siberia, which would be what? Sacramento, who has a couple of top 10 picks. And the Knicks would like to get a couple of top 10 picks, extra draft picks, right? And another pick down the line. And so that's where we stand on this. And those few but loyal New York basketball fans are hyperventilating over this. They've had a tough time dealing with the Porzingis rumors. And I want to go back to something that we just said here. The Knicks have stunk since Kristaps arrived. I agree, he's somewhat interesting, and he's a pretty good player, and he's done some pretty neat things with the Knicks. But it's not like the Knicks, if they got rid of Porzingis, like this would be the death of the franchise. That's not accurate. Anyway, the bottom line here, even if Phil Jackson does not end up trading Porzingis today on NBA draft day, it is pretty obvious here that the message has been sent to what Phil likes to call the unicorn, the Latvian unicorn there, that the Zen master is had enough. He's coached a bunch of Looney Tunes when he was with the Chicago Bulls and the Lakers, players like Dennis Rodman multiple times and others. And he's like, hey, you got to show up. And all those space cadets, and there were a bunch of freak shows, but at least they were professional enough to show up to their exit interviews. And that's a big deal for Phil Jackson. And it's Kristaps Porzingis, because he was not accountability, there's a good word, that has put himself in the middle of this, and now he's being tossed around the flea market of the NBA. All right, this is the Ben Maller Show on Fox, and we will take your phone calls. You know the number. You can be part of this. And also available on Twitter, at Ben Maller. That's at Ben Maller. You can be part of the show. And our Facebook page, Ben Maller Show. That's Ben Maller Show. Edmund Dallas Steamboat Willie is here as well.
I am here, and yes. I got to ask you.
Yes, sir.
How are you dealing with your surroundings in the Fox Sports Radio studios?
They're
very
focus.
Different than they were yesterday.
Yeah, there's work going on behind the scenes. There's some very hardworking people that are busting their ass, Eddie, because the
entire studio is now blue.
Yes,
they love the color blue here. Apparently, our kitchen is blue.
Well, this is nice though. This is like I've worked here for almost 20 years,
yeah,
and this is
Fox Sports Radio logos everywhere.
This is much better than how it was. They've redone the studio in the process of redoing the studios as we're doing the show. I'm told they're almost done though. So.
Does this make you? You think this will up your performance level at all in those surroundings?
Well, I usually like the studio darker, Eddie, and it's very light in here because the people need to see what they're doing. So I was a little off. I admit that was not. That was not my masterpiece right there. That was not my Mona Lisa. But we will press on. And once these guys leave, I'm going to make it pitch black in here. Oh, they're turning the lights. Was that Dave Weiss just turned the lights off? You can turn them off. I don't care. I don't need the lights on. Yeah. So, but it looks nice. Even the microphones now, they have the logo on them. And this is like a real deal here.
We may have to do a little Periscope action later.
You think so? Yeah.
People like to know what kind of environment we work in. They like to see behind the scenes.
What about your room? Is your room still the same?
Yeah, still the same. Right.
Yeah, they don't care about you.
I know.
Yeah, they care about me. They don't care about you. See? You see that?
I don't know about you so much. Some of the other people.
You believe this is for the daytime talent? Is that
might
what you're saying?
Be.
You don't think they're worried about the overnight show here?
Could
that
be.
We look good in the
overnight? Yeah.
Well,
you might just be the beneficiary of that.
Well, the show that looks good talks good, right? Isn't that how it works in radio?
Say, yeah. Yeah. That's what they say.
My ass feels so good right now.
Yeah.
This is wonderful. This is very exciting. All right. I know you're very excited about the NBA draft also, Eddie. You're looking forward to that.
Oh,
you're counting down the minutes.
You know it.
A little timer on your phone, and you'll be listening to all the great coverage here on Fox Sports Radio and monitoring everything. You don't want to miss anything.
Oh, there's no question, somebody used to say. Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. Oh, there's no question.
Yeah. So did you watch any baseball, Eddie? I was at a baseball game. I saw the Mets. We'll talk more about it later.
You went to another baseball game?
Yes, back to back.
Calm down, man. Take it slow. There's plenty there.
The Dodgers are on a rampage, and the Mets suck.
They are.
I was texting all my friends in the media that are Mets fans, pointing out how terrible the Mets are. I loved it. It's so much fun. I'm glad. This is a terrible Mets baseball team, and I'm enjoying every second of it because I've worked with a bunch of people that love the Mets, and Mr. Met and everything related to the Mets, and they are a disgrace. Not only are they a baseball team, they are a disgrace this season.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weeknights at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Exciting news. We've been very stagnant on the NFL Book'em, but we have an NFL Book'em update. We take you now to Waikiki. I know I love Hawaii. I go there as often as I can. It's a wonderful place to visit and to maybe live someday. But right there, Honolulu, party scene, and celebrating his birthday, Green Bay Packers defensive lineman LaTroy Guyon. And how did he spend his birthday? He got hammered. He went for it. How do I know he got hammered? Because he got busted for driving under the influence in a little intoxication situation there. And so that is an arrest. That adds at least a point or two to who? Now, who had the Green Bay Packers? That's right. Justin Cooper. You can put it on the board.
Yeah.
NFL Book'em. Congratulations, Coop.
Ben, I was reading that player was already suspended for the first four games of the 2017 season.
Wow, this could lead to a release. You could get a lot of points out of this, Coop, so that's a big one.
We're in the home stretch here.
Yeah.
Not that we want this to happen.
No, it's wrong, and no one should drink and drive. It's immoral. You should not do that. It's wrong.
Dangerous.
Yes.
Of course not, but if you do something like that, you should be disciplined by getting released from your team or being put on the commissioner's list. Either one.
Iron hand that. Cooper right there.
I don't know about that, Coop. I mean, you're kind of, aren't you more of a spirit of the law than letter of the law guy? Isn't that how you kind of roll there, right? No.
Not in the Book'em world.
Not in the Book'em world. So how
not
far
when it benefits him.
How far behind are you? I know you were trailing, right? But how does this obviously helps.
Yes, this will give me my 10th point, so I will trail you by only a point, but okay. Danny G's out ahead with 17 points, so I need that release.
So he's got – how many points do I have?
You have 11.
All right, I need like seven guys on the Browns to get arrested. Can we have like the Browns end up – I don't know what the hell they
party
can do.
Party boat.
Yeah, party boat would be good.
You know what I'm going to
do actually, now? You got the Browns. I need the Vikings.
Yes,
I need Love Boat Part 2.
I liked your first idea. Browns.
No, I have the Browns, Danny.
No, he's got the Browns.
I thought you know
who you have. I got the Rams.
I can't remember all my teams.
I got the list right now. I have the Rams, Vikings, Broncos, Dolphins, Seahawks, Jets, Jags, and Bucks. And it's summer. It's hot. Guys go out. They do stuff. I got to at least get a Dolphin arrested before the start of camp for something. Right? Can I at least get a Miami Dolphin popped in there? And now, is Eddie in last place? He's in last, right?
He has 1 point.
Yeah. So you have the Bengals, Patriots, Steelers, Saints, Raiders, Eagles, Giants,
bunch of goody goodies,
and Lions.
And the Giants were the only team to come through for him so far.
I feel something coming on for the Dallas Cowboys.
You think the Cowboys?
They're always good for a few points at the last minute.
I have Pac-Man. Pac-Man hasn't gotten in trouble in a couple weeks. He's due to get arrested again. He gets arrested every 3 months. He's due to get arrested. I could totally see like a member of the Saints, right? The hanging out, having a couple of drinks at Pat O'Brien's there, and just going out and going for it. Not that you should do that again, Eddie. It would be wrong. But if you're new to our show,
you know, Ben, we got big 4th of July coming up here.
Oh yeah.
Who knows?
Wait a minute.
Party, legal fireworks.
You have the who has the Giants?
I have the Giants.
Oh well, hey. The guy's got one more hand there, Eddie. You know, you never know.
Hey,
JPP,
use your toes.
I'm guessing he
light up some fireworks with your toes.
I don't think JPP will be using fireworks this year on the 4th of July. I have a feeling he will refrain from using fireworks. This is like the home stretch. And remember, in the years past, now we've done the NFL Book'em, which we try to point out. We don't want anyone to be arrested, but if they are arrested for crimes in the offseason, we want to get credit for that. And you get 1 point for a misdemeanor, 3 points for a felony. If an arrest results in a suspension or a release, a commissioner's list, 5 points for that. You get 5 points for that. Any coach that gets arrested gets a couple of points. So, for example, if Bill Belichick goes on a bender and somehow gets arrested in like a bar fight, I get 2 points for that. And if an NFL executive were to be popped for something, that's worth 4 points. So front office arrest, 4 points. That's the scoring system. It's very exciting. No one else is doing this, but no one else has this this game
yet.
Yeah, well, I'm surprised they haven't ripped it off.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com and within the iHeartRadio app.
All right, it's the Ben Maller Show on Fox. Now, you have an update here, Coop-a-loop. We have a Coop update. What is the update for, Coop?
Yes, Ben, it is actually for the NFL Book'em.
Okay, the NFL Book'em update. Did someone get arrested in the last half hour?
Now, I wanted to check back on the database just to make sure we hadn't missed anything.
Okay.
And it turns out we had.
Get your scorecards out. Your scorecards out. Hold on a sec. Let me get my scorecard. No, hold on a sec. I'm going to get in front of me.
There were three players that we overlooked.
We missed three arrests?
Yes.
One was brand new.
One was today, so that one's okay.
That was the Green Bay guy on his birthday, right? That was the one
That one we knew about. There was another one today.
Another one?
Yes.
What team?
The Jets.
I got the Jets!
Yes.
I got the Jets!
Lorenzo Malden.
Who's that? I don't even know who that is.
He is a linebacker.
Yeah, we'll bring Eddie in. Sure, why not?
He was arrested for assault because he punched a man in the face for allegedly spilling champagne on him.
Oh, you shouldn't do that. Okay. Man, he could be released,
Ben, he should have just went to a bouncer.
So I got the Jets. That's good. That's a point for me. I push ahead of you, Coop, some more.
Now,
little cushion.
Unfortunately, the other two players that were overlooked earlier in the season...
Yeah.
Also belong to you, Ben.
Yeah! Oh, man.
Woo! What team?
Yeah! That scouting payoff. You ripped me.
Hold on a second.
I spent 7 hours scouting rosters and doing research for the NFL book. It was paying off right now.
I want you, Ben Maller,
what?
To give our producer, Coop DeLoop, some credit here because you're always talking about how we're always against you and we never give you credit, blah, blah, blah. He brought up the fact that you got these points.
For doing the right thing.
You would have never known about it.
I would have known about it. I have my fact checker.
This is the best executive producer you've ever had on this show. you should at least wait another year before you get rid of this.
This just goes to show you that. This just goes to show you that all this talk about how we cheat Ben is all a bunch of crap.
I know you're a point, Eddie.
A bunch of crap.
Don't turn this into a conversation about that.
Evidence. I present evidence.
We got a good one. You're still trailing by 1 point.
So again, let me just recap what Eddie's saying there. Eddie,
yes, please do.
Eddie knows that the moral compass of this show, the staff, is so haywire that when someone does what they're supposed to do, they should deserve a that-a-boy.
What I'm doing is presenting
and a pat on the
clear
back.
Evidence.
This is not
evidence
at all.
Conspiracy
That's what you're supposed
you.
To do. That's your job.
But you're claiming that we're always against you and we're cheating you. Clearly, that is not the case. Coop-a-loop has provided evidence that is not the case.
I know you're upset. The games have not gone your way lately.
I'm not upset. I am upset that you won't give Coop credit and you won't be honest enough to say that there's no cheating against you.
Well, I fixed that.
Even though there's nothing to fix.
Even though you owe me
$5.
I don't owe you any. There's no money that you lost a bet. You let too many regulars on newbie night. You did.
I hope three more of your players get arrested and you don't notice it. I'm not bringing it up next time.
Wow. You see that? You see that, Eddie? You were just praising him, and now all of a sudden, you see, now he's admitting. You say
no,
he's not going to bring it up.
You won't even admit
he's admitting
my
right
fair and balanced attitude towards the games that we play on this show.
I've had to change all the rules because of the intense cheating scandal.
It just goes to show who the real cheater of the show
exactly.
is.
That has been going
ben
on here.
Maller.
Why? Because I made it fair? I made the games
you
fair, and now
anything.
I win, and I'm skewing you.
You didn't do anything. You're on a little bit of a run.
It'll turn. It's like an Eddie Garcia
pig roast.
And
then you'll be looking for a new conspiracy.
You have no chance if it's on the up and up. That's what I've always said, and you have been charbroiled since we went on the up and up.
You're a fool.
I just destroyed you last night.
Night's
a blowout.
It's just evening out, because after you made the quote-unquote rule changes, you were blanked 76-0 three games in a row. So now it's evening out.
It's evening out. Yeah. Is that right? Well, again, the listeners tell me, the feedback I get is that they like the games being fair, and they like the fact that I'm winning.
They have always been fair.
They've not been fair. That's a lie. We've caught you cheating on the air. That's how you got the nickname Willie. You got the nickname Willie because
you
of cheating.
You accused me of cheating. There's no proof of cheating.
The listener knows the truth, Eddie.
Yes,
the
they do.
Knows,
I agree.
And you're in the wrong, and that's fine.
No, again, once again,
correct,
the evidence was presented just moments ago that you get treated fairly and your claims are bogus.
That is a separate issue. That is not
We're talking about how you claim things are stacked up against you and it's biased against you and we're all out to get you. And Coop brings totally out of the blue evidence that, okay, there was these arrests that happened and they were your teams and now you get points for them and you still won't give us credit for what is real and there's no cheating going on.
I don't give pats on the back. When you do what you're supposed to do, I know you've got a sliding scale of morality.
What else do you do?
I know that.
You're always accusing and pointing fingers. Well, you have no problem with that, again, but you won't give pats on the back.
I was in the right.
How about credit where credit is due? How about that? No pats on the back. Just give credit where credit is due.
Relax. It's not a false accusation. It was an accurate statement that was going on. It was wrong. It was a violation of federal law. The FCC was going to investigate here. You can't cheat.
Man, the amount of crap coming out of your mouth right now is unbelievable.
I know this is a kryptonite to you, Eddie, because when the games are fair, you don't win. But did you ever see the movie Quiz Show?
I've won plenty, Ben.
Well, not when the game's been
fair.
Yes,
but in a few weeks, it'll turn. And
No.
The crew will start winning, and then you'll be accusing of cheating again.
Your weak link is when the game is played on the up and up. That's your weak link.
Lies.
It was, again, last night you were exposed.
Lies.
The record speaks for itself. I'm going to rest my case.
It's a good thing that you don't get charged for lying on the radio for anything, because if so, you would be in prison right now serving two life sentences.
Of course. There is no bigger charlatan than Eddie Garcia.
Now I want us to have a special edition of Password so that we can settle this before next week.
I already won enough.
We don't have any games.
I'm going to hurt my neck from all these medals. I'm going to hurt my neck. I'm going to have to see a chiropractor. My neck is all messed up here. I'm going to need a massage. Would you like to massage me?
No.
No?
With coconut oil.
With acid.
All right. If you want to be part of this, give us a buzz. So what's – now, Coop, do the math on that. How many points do I have now in the NFL?
You have 16 points.
Ooh, Danny, are you feeling the nerves, Danny? You feeling nervous right now?
No, as Steve Harvey says, we got a good one. And if you're going to stop my three-peat, then, I take on the challenge.
Okay.
But we got some – how many weeks do we have left?
I need my buddies in the LAPD to listen to the show. If any Ram player were to do something illegal, don't let them off. Don't let them off the hook. And anybody in Minnesota, all my guys in Minnesota, I hear a lot of guys working law enforcement there. You know what to do, boys, if the Vikings have an issue.
When is our last day on the calendar?
When the first team goes to training camp. So I'll have to look when the first team reports to training camp. Now, in the past, we actually have gone all the way to the start of the regular season. If you want, we can go all the way to the start of the regular season.
Well, it'll depend really on where Ben is in the standings to determine that. If he's losing.
Look at Eddie. Look at Eddie's over there.
Am I wrong?
Look at Eddie
Am I
pouting
wrong?
Over there.
Set a concrete date then. I have no chance to win. I'm just trying to hold you accountable.
You're so concerned. You are so concerned. Look at you. You're so worried about this.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weeknights at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app. It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
And it is third degree time. We bring in the Coop Dalu.
And despite all of the Deflategate drama over the past couple of years, in a recent interview with NFL.com, Roger Goodell stated that his relationship with Patriots owner Robert Kraft was never strained. Do you believe him?
I like how you repeated that word there, strange.
I mispronounced it the first time.
Well, it sounded fine to me. Now, listen, this is Roger Goodell's fairy tale. This is a fairy tale from the commissioner's office. Bob Kraft is in his mid to late 70s now. I think he's 76. He's in the final chapter of his career as the Patriots owner. He's going out in a blaze of glory here with all these championships. He's living the life. This is a proud man who is worried about his legacy in the NFL, and the reputation has been altered because of the actions of Roger Goodell and several witch hunts against the New England Patriots. So if Bob Kraft is not upset, then there's something wrong with Bob Kraft. And B, in Roger Goodell's mind, he feels like Robert Kraft and him are good, right? Because Bob Kraft still talks with him at these social engagements where all the fat cat rich people in the NFL get together. They all sit around, and Bob Kraft doesn't act differently. But that's business. Right? That's Bob Kraft, who needs to have a working relationship with the commissioner. He still wants to be on all these blue ribbon panels and all that, so it's important to him. But let's put it this way. If Robert Kraft and Roger Goodell have exactly the same relationship they did before, then Bob Kraft is a total fraud. Roger Goodell is exaggerating. Right? He's exaggerating the situation, and it's being dishonest. It's dishonest rhetoric. Next!
Ben, we've pretty much clarified that the New York Jets are tanking this season. It seems to be what their goal is. Now, do you think that the NFL could eliminate tanking by making a draft lottery with equal chances to all teams that miss the playoffs, kind of like the NBA draft lottery was when it was originally implemented?
Yeah, see, I'm at my tipping point. You know this. You're trying to trigger me. I'm at my tipping point with tanking in sports, and I blame Sam effing Hinkie and the Philadelphia 76ers and trust the process, shove it where the sun don't shine. So I have an idea. It's an unorthodox idea. It's an outside-the-box idea, but I want to go for it. I'm going to debut it right now in this Mallard of the Third Degree. I want to flip the script, and I want to see what happens if you give the top teams the better selections, right? And I'll tell you why. Number one, we can stop rewarding franchises that trust the process and rebuild. Enough. You suck. You shouldn't be rewarded for putting a garbage team out there. And you know what? If you do that for a couple of years, you're actually going to inspire these teams to figure out a different path out of the darkness. So much has been made about these draft picks, and everyone puts their faith in these draft picks. It would be pretty cool if Adam Silver or Roger Goodell had the balls to be a nonconformist and say enough is enough as punishment, because so many of our teams are intentionally trying to lose. You know what we're going to do? We're going to say, you don't even get the top pick. You get one of the bottom picks. How about that? See what happens. It'll be very interesting. A little science experiment to see how it turns out. It would send shockwaves around that particular sport. Teams sell winning. And if you aren't winning, they sell the hope, the false hope of draft picks and how that's going to inspire you to win. And I've had enough of it. And number two, I am against the lottery. I am against the lottery. It's just another marketing tool for the NFL. And we know over the years the NBA has been accused several times of manipulating the outcome of lottery balls. With the reputation that Roger Goodell has in the mud, you're telling me that if there was an NFL lottery, it wouldn't be similar to the NBA and there'd be accusations of shenanigans going on and they'd be bending corners to help out certain teams that are in the good graces of the NFL? Come on. Next!
Ben, on Wednesday, Jerry Jones met with Pope Francis at the Vatican in Italy. It got me to wondering, who would you rather meet if you had the opportunity, Ben? The Pope, the Dalai Lama, or the Queen of England?
That's the list? I can't go outside that list?
Nope, those are the three.
All right. I will go with, first of all, royalty. When you have a chance to hang with royalty, you hang with royalty. You don't turn down royalty. So I would play poker. I'd play blackjack. I'd go to the casino with the Queen of England. We'd have a great time. We'd go out gambling. We'd go back. We'd hang out at Buckingham Palace, watch some ball games on the satellite. It would be wonderful. What else? They got that Windsor Castle, right? That's another place, the royal family.
King Eddie.
It'd be fun. Be great. And the history of Britain and their battles with the U.S., I could go back and walk through the halls of Buckingham House. And then after that, I would take the Dalai Lama. I'm very spiritual when it comes to sports conversation here. So I would like to be enlightened with my chance to hang out with the Dalai Lama. And several times a week, Koopaloop, in these Mallard monologues that we do every hour at the top of the hour, I act like a Tibetan monk, and I actually set myself on fire during the Mallard monologue. So it would be cool to hang out with the Dalai Lama and have a good time. And after that, I guess I would put the Pope lower down on the list. All right, there it is, Mallard of the Third Degree. How did we do?
Ben, you fail this edition.
That's a win for me. Although it would be fun to hang out in the Pope-mobile.
You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
All right, it's a win for me. Thank you very much. Good win. I'll add that to my total.
You blew it!
Eddie, you want to do a little monologue and a haiku about how fair Coop is? You want to go ahead and do that again? You
know? Well, he is the judge, whether you like it or not. So if he fails you, he fails you.
Mr. Ethical Judge over there, another corrupt judge, as President Trump would say.
Now, your performance on yesterday's Mallard of the Third Degree was so bad that you fail today. proxy.
You are so hurt by the fact that you cannot bend the rules anymore. I have put the kibosh on the cheating.
I am such a radio loser.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com and within the iHeartRadio app.
We take you to Dodger Stadium, downtown L.A., the Dodgers and Mets, the third of a four-game series on a Wednesday night. And in the fourth inning, game I was at, fourth inning, the New York Mets pitching. Some guy named Tyler Pill was pitching. I've never heard of him. He's a rookie for the Mets, Tyler Pill. Pitcher, apparently. In the fourth inning, Yasiel Puig comes up. Now, the Mets had intentionally walked a batter ahead of Puig to get to Yasiel Puig. He then hits a moonshot into the pavilion at Dodger Stadium, a home run that traveled over 400 feet.
Yasiel Puig!
Very impressive home run. And this upset Wilmer Flores. Isn't he the guy that was crying like a child a couple of years ago? A little baby Wilmer Flores for the Mets. Well, Wilmer Flores was all upset. The Mets infielder, as Puig was making his way around the bases. Now, even before Puig made his way around the bases, he's in Hollywood. He posed. He struck a pose. There was some showboating that went on. And when Puig was making his way around the bases, Wilmer Flores started yelling at him, and we have the conversation. Wilmer Flores was upset with Puig that he had stopped vintage like Sammy Sosa. There have been other players that do it, that stop and admire their work, their great performance. And so Puig admired the home run, and according to Wilmer Flores, this crying Met, he said, quote, "I told him to run the bases." He said, "I told him to run the bases." And then Flores went on to say, "I don't think Puig knows what respect for the game is," he said. So what did Yasiel Puig say back to Wilmer Flores when he said, "I told him to run the bases"? Puig responded by saying, "F you!" I love it. I love it. And so then Puig took 32 seconds to get from home plate home plate, you know, to do the whole victory lap around the bases there after hitting a home run into the left field pavilion. That was a three-run home run, which blew the game open in favor of the Dodgers. It was not only Wilmer Flores that got upset. Travis d'Arnaud, the Mets catcher, who's no good either, he also got upset with Yasiel Puig. But the two quotes here, right? Flores saying that Puig doesn't respect the game, and Flores also said, "We're playing horrible right now. We don't need this blank." That's the quote from Flores. Puig played stupid, and I give him credit for this. When asked if he did say F you, which you can clearly see, you know, anyone who's ever used the F word knows that you can read the lips of Yasiel Puig. He obviously said F you. It's pretty obvious he said it. But Puig's like, "I don't remember what I said." I don't remember. So the question is this: do the New York Mets have a right to be upset with Yasiel Puig? Yasiel Puig? The answer is hell no. Hell no, and I'll tell you why. Right? Number one, it is not Yasiel Puig's problem that the Mets stink. He don't work for the New York Mets. He works for the Los Angeles Dodgers. All right? Play better. Let's start with that. I don't care. I know you're annoyed by this, and you're depressed because your season's in the toilet. The Mets are now 9 games under 500, and they're going to start trading away players. The Mets are going to start unloading players soon enough. But in reality, Yasiel Puig had every right to be upset with the New York Mets. They drilled him in the game the night before. They nailed him with the pitch. And then in this particular game, is there anything more emasculating? First of all, they have to bat eighth. Puig was batting eighth. In the National League, when you bat eighth, the pitcher is behind you. They never pitch to you in that situation. And the ultimate trump card of disrespect, the Mets walking the hitter in front of Puig to get to Yasiel Puig. Right? So he was upset going up there that, you know, you don't think enough of me to even, you know, pitch to the guy ahead of me. So what's up with that? And the second point here, Major League Baseball has, they've got all these think tanks that get together and they're trying to figure out, oh my God, how can we solve baseball, right? You know the first thing I would do? I would outlaw the phrase respect for the game. Stop that. All right? Yasiel Puig, bring in the razzle dazzle. And I was at the game. People loved it. The people that are there, the Dodger fan loved it. The excitement that brought was great. And that's a problem because baseball, that's disrespecting the game? Screw you. You should encourage more of that. And it's the attitude of people like Wilmer Flores of the Mets. That attitude is all over baseball. This is a cancer. And baseball doesn't even realize it. They don't realize it. And you look at the NFL. The NFL, they have changed. And the reason they've changed is because they realize people like the celebration. The NFL, against their better judgment, the old stick-in-the-muds that run the National Football League, the graybeards, the old guys, they're going to be suffering on Sunday when guys score touchdowns and they start shaking their ass in the end zone. It's going to trigger these old guys that run NFL franchises. They'll be in panic when this starts happening. Happens, but they're doing it because they know it is something that the people like, the masses like, and stop. All right? And I know that the Mets are annoyed and they're irritated and all that, but that's not Yasiel Puig's problem. Get the guy out, and then he won't be showboating and taking 30 seconds to run around the bases after he hits a home run. And I love the fact that the TV cameras caught Yoenis Cespedes and Jose Reyes, two senior members of the Mets, who ran over to counsel Yasiel Puig between innings. Like, they all got together. Like, listen, we got to have a get-together. We have a meeting on the field. And it's ridiculous, right? And Cespedes was asked about this, and he said it was a, quote, personal conversation with his brother from a different country, or from the same country, back in the day. So, doesn't Cespedes celebrate when he hits home runs too? Yasiel Puig is public enemy number one. He has been tattooed with this reputation, and everything he does is under the microscope. And that's fine. Listen, that's part of being Yasiel Puig. But in this particular case, it is absurd. Wilmer Crying Flores of the Mets and Travis d'Arnaud, embarrassing. So the Ben Maller Show on Fox, if you would like to opine on that. And will Terry Collins be fired? I saw Terry Collins was, let's just say he was really buddy-buddy with some of the executives from the Dodgers. You think Terry's trying to line up a job when the Mets fire him? You think he's like, hey, maybe I can get one of those front office jobs with the Dodgers and the Mets get rid of me? You think he's going down that avenue? Ben Maller, Sean Fox. Now, I wanted to address the Freddie Freeman story. Freddie Freeman is out still. He's got a broken wrist. He's getting close to coming back. And it appears he will not be getting his job back with the Braves. He will not play first base anymore in Atlanta. And Freeman, though, is not, they're not trading him. He is shifting across the infield, and he is going to play third base. He said he's 100% in on this. And in his mind, he is going to return to Atlanta after a couple weeks of practice as a third baseman. A longtime first baseman for the Braves, and he's going to shift across the diamond. And the baseball chatter picked up on this, and I wanted to talk about it. I had a couple thoughts on this. He has played his entire career, Freeman, at first base. And so is this something or nothing? Now, it is something. But the two thoughts I have about Freddie Freeman are it's unselfish and it's also necessary that he moves across the diamond. We'll begin with the fact that it's unselfish because Freddie Freeman could have protested and been a douche and said, no, I'm the most beloved member of the Atlanta Braves. Everyone below the Mason-Dixon line loves me. I'm in the prime of my career. I'm 27 years old. I'm the one with the $135 million contract. Why would I change positions? He's been to a couple of All-Star games. The Braves haven't been good in years, but Freddie Freeman's been good. He's played at a high level. He was playing very well before he broke his wrist this year. And in the olden days, this would be the norm. Right? This would be the norm. You would just, if your manager, your front office wanted you to shift positions, then you shift positions, whatever's in the best interest of the team. In these modern times, the fact that Freddie Freeman is willing to change positions makes a headline. This is like so outrageous that he's willing to do this. It's like, wow, this is big news in baseball. And we know the story of Derek Jeter and how selfish he was, and A-Rod, a much better shortstop. You think Jeter was going to leave shortstop? No. He said, screw you. I'm Derek Jeter. I get all the models. Everyone loves me. You go play third base, A-Rod. So that's what A-Rod did. It hurt the Yankees because Jeter was a terrible defensive player, and it hurt the Yankees, but Jeter would not shift positions. So Freddie Freeman started taking ground balls. He's going to play third base when he comes back. Now, in addition, this was a necessary move for Freddie Freeman because it helps the Braves out. Matt Adams has been smashing and mashing and raking the baseball all over the place. And he did nothing his last year with the cheating Cardinals, but he has reinvented himself in Georgia, whether it's the ballpark or the laundry or whatever it is. Maybe he's using cork in his bat or steroids. I don't know, but the guy's playing really well. He's lost some weight, and he's doing a great job. But as long as Fat Adams is playing like an all-star, you leave him in the lineup. There's no DH in the National League. And so the question is, what happens when Adams, though, eventually regresses, when he reverts to the old Matt Adams and he can't hit anymore? So is this a temporary situation? If Matt Adams goes a month, like in July, and he's batting 180, does Freddie Freeman quietly move back to first base for the Braves and Matt Adams takes a seat and gets hemorrhoids on the bench for Atlanta? Does that happen? And Freeman hasn't played third base pretty much since high school. So I would say it should be okay. I mean, he could throw the ball. Freeman's got a decent arm, we believe. And you just got to be quick, and it's all about positioning. Wouldn't it be easier to play third base than first base? In first base, you're involved in everything. Everything that goes on, every play in the infield, even the outfield, you're involved in everything. Third base, yeah, it's the hot corner, but you're not involved in everything. You're not. So, and one other observation. Much like earlier, if you listened the entire night, Eddie Garcia wanted to give a Nobel Peace Prize to the Koopa Loop because he did something that was something he should have done. We should not give the Nobel Peace Prize to Freddie Freeman because he was being considerate to the Braves' wishes and decided to move to third base. And Atlanta's not going to make the playoffs. They're a bad team. They're terrible. But it's nice that he did it, but let's stop with the poetic things that are being said about Freddie Freeman, how kind he was to shift positions. All right, it's Ben Maller's show on Fox. You can give us a call. You know the number. You can be part of this. And also on Twitter, at Ben Maller. And I felt much better, Eddie, after annihilating Wilmer Flores and the New York Metropolitans. I was more irritated with the Mets than the Mets were annoyed with my guy, Yasiel Puig, who's starting to hit all of a sudden. I don't know what he's doing, but he has snapped out of the funk. And Puig's had a good week, 10 days here. He's hit some home runs. He's doing pretty good.
Yeah, clearly the Dodgers are just feeding all their players steroids. It's only the only explanation for all the home runs that they're hitting
right
now.
I'm perfectly fine with that if that's what's going on. Whatever.
I'm sure you are. I don't understand why. I've never understood why players, I know it's baseball and the unwritten rules and all that.
It's respect to the game, Eddie. He said Wilmer Flores, he doesn't respect the game.
Yeah, that's lame. It's dumb.
It's as dumb as when he was crying like a child because he was going to be traded to the Brewers.
How come Fernando Rodney can pose and point and do all these things?
I'm
and
no fine one, with that.
And I'm just saying, why is that is, you know, disrespectful, right?
Yes.
Why does no one call him out on that?
Some Mets fan I was tweeting about this, and some Mets fan got all upset. I said, listen, he said, would you have a problem if the pitcher did it? I don't care. If the Mets had come back and struck out Puig and did a conga line to the dugout, the entire team makes a trip around the bases in a conga line, I would have been fine with it. It would have been great. It would have made for a great meme. It would have been hilarious if the entire team had done a conga line off the field wearing Mets uniforms.
Well,
it would have been hilarious, Eddie.
That might
would have laughed my
much.
Ass off.
Yeah, that might be a bit much.
It's all about the moment to go viral on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, Eddie. That's all they care about. Occasionally Snapchat. And those moments, when Puig strikes a pose like a great gladiator that has just conquered a beast, right? The pitcher on the mound. That's a wonderful thing, Eddie.
Yeah,
you should celebrate that.
Yeah, I have no problem with that at all. I mean, look, I've always said if the pitcher doesn't want the batter to do that, don't throw him a meatball. It's just as simple as that.
But I it's fine. Celebrate. It's okay. I know it's a long season. I've heard all the stories over the years. I get it. But it's have a good time. Fine. Have a good time. And Puig had every right to be upset because the Mets, the intentional walk thing is like, you don't even throw four pitches. Like, you're so embarrassed. Go down to first base. We want to pitch to the other guy because he sucks. That's what they're saying with the intentional walk.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weeknights at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app. It's now time for...
Well, hurry, I can hardly wait.
Ask Ben.
Twitter!
Send us your questions on Twitter now.
Like a hissing cockroach in the night. It is time for... I don't even know what that means. It's Ask Ben... Your questions and our answers. You can ask us any kind of questions. Now, if you ask us those boring 1980s sports radio style questions, they are not going to get on the air. They are not going to be read. They will be deleted right away. We will try to expedite the process with the creme de la creme, the upper crust of questions, the rare, the inappropriate. We will get to some of those as well. The uncommon question typically gets asked on the radio, and now the one that asked all of the questions in a very condensed way, the Koopaloo.
Ben, we're going to start with a question for you.
All right.
This is from Big Lou on Facebook.
I've met Big Lou.
Yes.
Several times. Good man.
We can all tell your love.
Although he likes hockey. A little weird, you know.
We can all tell your love of game shows. Where did that start as a child? And did you make your mom, dad, and brothers participate in fake game shows that you host in?
Well, that's a good question. No, I never tortured my parents that way. But I remember as a child, some of my favorite memories were when I ditched school and I'd stay home and I'd have to, like, kill time, you know. And I had as a child, I faked illness. And in those days, back in the caveman days when it was not this advancement in entertainment and stuff, like, the only thing on during the day, I was either soap operas or game shows. So I loved, like, my favorite game show as a kid was Let's Make a Deal. I love that. And also The Price is Right. I got to meet Bob Barker years ago on radio. That was a lot of fun. But all the Wheel of Fortune was solid. Family Feud, legends. And so as a child, through the eyes of a child, I fell in love with these game shows. And as an adult, I have become one of the great radio game show hosts of modern time.
All right, we're going to start, or we're going to go with another question
okay.
for you, Ben.
Yes.
This is
was
from,
that an atrocious answer? That was a fine answer.
No, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
This is from Jacob Sin on Twitter.
Hi, Jacob.
He said he's got a great question for Ask Ben.
Okay.
It's for you. Say one nice thing about Eddie, Danny, and Coop.
They all showed up to work on time today, and I'm very happy about that. None of them got any tickets on the way to work. They all apparently took showers, which is good. That's a solid thing. They appear to have brushed their teeth. They combed their hair, although I don't know what's under that hat that Danny wears, so I have no idea what's going on there. And they're great Americans. They pay their taxes. And, yeah, there you go. That's like multiple nice things. Man.
All right.
In your face.
I suppose that
in
works.
Your face.
This is a group question. This is from the Ben Maller fan.
Okay. Well, that's a good one right there.
How many
embrace that guy.
How many car accidents have each of you been in?
Oh, boy. I've had my share of fender benders. I don't even remember. I've probably been in over the years. I've been driving a long time. I drive a lot. I've gotten in, I want to say, like 5 accidents. In fact, the first day that I did the overnight show for the second time, after the management realized the mistake of their ways and they put me on, the day after I was driving to the gym. And those, I thought, well, maybe I'll go to the gym in the afternoon. I won't go in the morning after the show. And I got rear-ended on a freeway in L.A., and that's happened a couple of times. So I'm going to go 5. Eddie?
Yeah, I'm going to go with 3. One of them famously on my way to work when
the boat
became unhitched from the vehicle that was towing it.
That must have been a great conversation with the insurance rep. You hit a boat?
Yeah. It was great. And the guy just kept driving. Or maybe he was drunk and didn't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
Also, I had 2 accidents within the span of a month that totaled both cars.
Ooh.
Yeah. The insurance was great.
Have I told the story? I was in line back in my big eating days at McDonald's at about 2:30 in the morning, if I remember correctly. And they had the 2 windows working, which is rare. Usually at night they only have the 1 window working at the fast food restaurants. So I'm in line at 2:30 in the morning getting my order of food, and I pull up from the first window to the second window, which is where they give you the food. You pay at the first, they give you the food at the second. And the car in front of me, this teenager, realizes that he had forgotten a dish, a side of food, and backs into my car, not realizing there was a car behind him. I was a helpless person.
They must have forgot his fries.
I don't know what they forgot, but that was not, not good. And it didn't even look, Eddie, like my car was that damaged. But then, of course, you go to the chop shop, yeah, and it's $10,000 of hidden damage. It's ridiculous. Yeah.
The way they make cars these days, you know, you can't just replace one part.
No, the whole side of the car has to be replaced.
Exactly. What a scam.
What about you, Danny?
I'm thinking back to one when I was a little kid in my mom's car. And two, as an adult, the last one in 2006, where a drunk driver hit me head on one of the canyon roads. Yeah, between Woodland Hills and Malibu,
really?
On one of the canyon roads. Lucky to be here.
Wow.
And that dude had to be medevaced, helicoptered out of the canyon. Well, and, of course, he lived because he was, you know.
Hammered.
He was drunk. Yeah.
He was loose.
What time was this? Were you driving
in the day? Fortunately, yeah.
Okay.
I had the top down with my girlfriend at the time, and we were just taking a Sunday cruise to Malibu, so I was actually under the speed limit.
Okay.
Can you imagine if I had been going over the speed limit?
Yeah, you would have gone down the canyon, and that would have been it, right?
Yeah, he came around a turn. He was going like 75 miles an hour around a canyon bend.
Wow, that's crazy, man. I didn't know about that. All right, Koopaloo, what about you?
Well, if I'm adding, I know that since I started driving, I've been in at least four that I can remember.
Okay.
And then if I'm adding, like, you know, when I was a kid, probably at least probably five or six.
Parents bad drivers?
No. I mean, all the four that I've been involved in since I started driving has not been my fault. So yeah. I guess my car is just a magnet for bad drivers.
Yeah, I always say it's not my fault. I got one time, the traffic all of a sudden stopped on the highway, and I was so pissed because I had stopped right just an inch before the car in front of me, and the car behind me comes barreling into me, and because of the chain reaction, I then hit the car in front of me. And the insurance blamed me for hitting the car in front of me. And I told the rep, I said, listen, this is before I had Geico. I said, listen, I didn't hit the car. The car pushed me into the car, and they said, well, it doesn't matter. In the eyes of the law, you hit the car. Because
You didn't stop with enough distance between
stopped.
You and
I
the
didn't
car
hit the
in
car.
Front of you.
I was like an amazing NASCAR driver that I avoided this accident.
So you were tailgating is what we found
out. I wasn't tailgating. It was a sudden stop of traffic. Right, anyway, we'll pause for the cause. It is Ask Ben, your questions and our answers for the rest of the hour, as Larry King would say. So keep the questions coming in. We'll have more of Ask Ben. We'll get to that. We'll do it next. Well, unfortunately, we do not do shout-outs on Ask Ben because we have strict rules here at Fox Sports Radio, and we can't do it.
What if you were a free spirit, though, and like didn't follow rules?
Well, if I was free of the restraints of the management and the man that I work for here at Fox, then I would absolutely give a shout-out to a Lyft driver who is driving between Sarasota and Tampa because apparently someone that we know might or might not have been in that Lyft car from Sarasota to Tampa, and the driver possibly was listening to the Ben Maller Show. I will say no more, but thank you for listening. We appreciate that. Let's get back to it. Here we go. Let's do it. It is time now for more of Ask Ben. Your questions, our answers, and the MC of this, Koopaloo.
This is a question for everybody on the crew. This is from Robbie, the Mariners fan on Twitter.
Great Robbie.
Do you believe in ghosts? And if so, have you had a paranormal experience?
Yeah, I when I was a kid, I believed in ghosts. Now as an adult, no. There are some odd things that happen, though. There are some unexplainable things that happen. But do I think they're ghosts? No, I don't think they're ghosts. Eddie?
Yeah, I don't really either. The only thing that ever happened to me that raises some questions was one time I was living in an apartment. I was watching TV. It was late at night, and my front door opened and closed, like slammed shut. And after I froze for a few seconds, like, what the hell is that? And then I sprinted to the door. I opened it up, and it was down a long hallway, and there was no one there.
Ooh, spooky.
Yeah.
Danny?
See, Big Ben, my mom told me and my brothers that ghosts are just bad angels who got kicked out of heaven.
Oh, is that right?
And I think she had to come up with this story because we moved from L.A. to San Jose, California, and the first house my mom rented there, I swear it was haunted. Cabinets would open and slam in the middle of the night. Our bedroom window would go up and down. It was a creepy house, and finally my mom moved out of that house. So I think that after that, she's like, yeah, there probably are some ghosts.
I heard a magician years ago who did, like, seances, and he told me all, he said all the tricks that they use in the seance, right? And so, talking to ghosts, and I don't know. Coop, what about you?
I never was a believer, but one time, shortly after high school, I was hanging out with some friends in a park late at night, and I thought I saw something ghost-like in the distance, but I wasn't going to bring it up because that may have been taking place, but I didn't want to bring it up to anybody because I was like, oh, I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah, sure.
And then all of a sudden, somebody else in the group was like, do you guys see that? And then it was a realization that there was something there. We all booked it. We left the park.
It's funny. I don't really believe in ghosts, but I believe in, like, I know they're like spaceships. I know they're aliens. I believe in that stuff. I'm going all George Norrie on that, but on the ghost thing, no. All right, what else we got, Koopaloo?
If we can try and get through this one, for the whole gang from Dakota, did you ever think of running away as a child?
Yes. Me and a buddy in Northwood Elementary were going to run away to Chicago. We had it all planned out. We were going to, I don't remember exactly our plan to make money, but yeah, we were going to run away to Chicago. Eddie?
No, I was spoiled rotten. I wasn't going anywhere.
Okay. Danny G.
Hell yeah, I daydreamed about that often. Went to my aunt's one time with every intention to stay. She kicked me out about after the third dinner she had to cook for me.
She's like, get out of here, you're too expensive. Coop, what about you? As a child, you living the Hollywood life? You didn't want to run away when you were a kid, did you?
Never thought of running away, but I would sneak out late at night to the donut store, 2 a.m. for fresh donuts.
You still do that today!
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weeknights at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
All right, anyway, it's the Ben Maller Show on Fox as we yap the night away. Now, I have a guy with a golden ticket here, but we have other stuff. Should I take the golden ticket, Eddie, or should I do the thing I was planning on doing?
Well, can you give us a hint on what is the thing you were planning on doing? I mean, is it really special?
It involves a melody. It involves harmony.
Ooh. I think the golden ticket's going to have to wait.
Okay. All right. So the golden ticket's going to have to wait. That's okay. Eddie Garcia has spoken. Do not be upset with me. I asked Eddie. Eddie said he would rather hear this than the golden ticket. So I don't know all the details on this. I've gotten some cryptic messages from the Koopaloop. He's kept this on the down low. I've not heard this. I'm told we have a song that is a collaboration. A piece of music that was put together by several P1s of the show, at least two of them, that conspired. Anything else?
A collaboration.
It's a collaboration. So anything else we should know about this Koopaloop?
Yes, I am told that the lyrics were written by Rod in Bakersfield.
Okay. The ambassador, Rod.
There are vocal backings by another P1 listener of the show.
Okay. So there's another one involved. So is this more Mozart, Beethoven? What are we looking at? Kind of melody are we looking at?
Well, what? Ben, I didn't want to spoil it for myself either. I only listened to the first, like, 5 seconds of the song.
Okay, so we are going to debut. We've debuted music before. I'm told this was done professionally.
And in a recording studio.
In a recording studio. Okay, so let's sit back, and I want you guys, you listening as well here, I want you to grade this, and here we go.
Ben Maller is a man. Yes, a big man. He's got his militia and gives them his sporting news. Ben Maller is a man. Yes, a big man. Big Ben in the air everywhere for you and me. From the Dodger cap on the top of old Ben to the heel of his Costco shoes, he's the rip-roarin'est, sports-talkin'est man the world has ever knew. Ben Maller is a man, yes, a big man, and he never forgets to bring along his faithful crew. There's Eddie Garcia, the Koop-de-loop, and Danny G Radio too. These guys are better than the best dang crew you and I have ever knew.
Woo!
Ben Maller is a man, yes, a big man.
Big Ben in the air everywhere for you and me.
Yeah! That is great.
I'm not going to lie. The toe was tapping.
That was awesome. That was great. Cool. We got to put that on YouTube. Can we post that on YouTube?
That was high production value.
Are we allowed to put that on YouTube? That was really good.
I don't see why not.
Yeah, that was not. I liked that. That was solid. I need a copy of that, Coop, too, because I got
to. We're going to have to film something like a montage to go.
A music video?
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's do a music video.
We'll do the boogie woogie.
Ben, like, lumbering down the hallway.
Oh, my God. Jeez.
That was so good. It deserves a music video.
It's not going to help my body image problems, but I love it.
I am a very, very big man.
Yeah. That was great. We got to put that on the charts. I know someone that knows Ryan Seacrest. Can we get that Seacrest to play that on his top 40 countdown show that he does? Or top 20 countdown? No?
About as much chance as you have of grabbing a sandwich with Steve Harvey.
No, me and Steve Harvey are going to be BFF. When Steve Harvey starts working across, no. He's a sports guy. He's a down-to-earth guy.
He doesn't like people.
We are going to hang out together and have a great time. I might even become the sports guy.
You guys are going to write memos together?
No, I could become the sports guy on the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
You're fired.
It could happen. And then maybe when Steve Harvey takes vacation, a sabbatical, a little hiatus there on the feud, I might end up filling in. That could happen as well.
Oh, yeah. I could see you hosting the Family Feud.
At least, Eddie, if I don't host the Family Feud, at least allow us to be on the Family Feud. Like, I want to have why don't we fight as Fox Sports for the overnight show? We can fight the other crappy overnight shows that are out there, and we can see who's best. Yeah,
I could see it now. Coop would be up there making a guess, and Ben would be yelling at him. That's a terrible guess, Coop. That is a horrible job by you.
No. I know how Feud works. If you want to get on Family Feud, no matter how stupid the answer is, you ever say, oh, good job, good answer. I've seen so many episodes of Family Feud. It's all scripted. I know everything. It's all choreographed, just like the Property Brothers and all those shows on the Home and Garden Channel. It's the same thing.
I would dominate Family Feud. I am so good at that game.
I'm good, too. I do very well with Family Feud. All right, here's the deal. Listen, when Steve Harvey starts working here, I'll break the ice. All right, I'll buy some donuts. I'll buy a box of donuts. I'll bring them in here as a peace offering to Steve Harvey and his crew when they start working across the hall. And by the end of the show, I think me and Steve will be bonding. We'll probably go out and have meals together once a week. It'd be great. You know, I think that's possible.
Unless he sees sanitary gloves on your hands, he's not going to want to take food from anybody.
No, stop. He's not. Who's the other
You
game?
Don't get that vibe from him from all the stories that were in the news about the memo?
Oh, please.
Don't just look at him. Don't touch him. You think he's going to take food from
you? No, that's fake. They're just trying to knock down. He can't be that big a douche and be as successful as he is. Come on. Please. Who's the celebrity that you can't touch? The guy that was on, it was the game show with the boxes.
Howie Mandel.
Yeah, Howie Mandel, that guy. Now, that I think is legit. Like, yeah, Howie's got some serious mental issues with that stuff. I think that's documented. I haven't heard that much about Steve Harvey, though. There's been a lot of stories in the tabloids about Harvey, though, lately. All right, so the Ben Maller Show on Fox. Great job on that song. Thank you, guys. I'm very, very flattered and honored. You went above and beyond the call. And that was tremendous.
Very nice.
I think we'll have to replay it again on tomorrow's show.
Yeah, I think we should play that. That should be in our rotation.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The journey to a smoke-free future can be a long and winding road. But if you're ready for a change, consider taking Zyn for a spin. Zyn nicotine pouches offer a fresh way to discover your nicotine satisfaction. Anywhere, anytime. No smoke, no spit, and no lingering odor. Get in gear with the Zyn 10 Challenge and enjoy 10 smoke-free, spit-free days for just $5.95. Order online and start your new journey today. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God,
We've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.